You're listening to Go On with Jess Leach, part of the Treehouse Lifestyle Network. Go On is a weekly chat with interesting people on the topics of style, food, design, and the like. This episode of Go On is brought to you by Dabble. Dabble makes it easy to try something new or share your passion through one-time affordable classes. Think Airbnb for classes. Ever wanted to learn upcycled basket weaving? Find a class for that. Think you know a whole lot about brewing beer? Teach a class. Learn a new skill or share yours with others through Dabble.
Hey, y'all. I'm Zach. I'm the CMO, among many other things, for Dabble, and I'm really excited to be here with Jess.
Zach, tell me about the perks of using Dabble for students.
Okay, so there's a lot of perks, but one of the main things is that you're going to be able to do something really cool. You could do anything from, we've done bacon tasting classes in St. Louis. We are also hosting a kombucha brewing class, and we're serious about people trying new things. Doing something different on the weekday, this is a great way for you to do the same.
Awesome. And what about the perks of Dabble for teachers?
Yeah, so we find really great teachers. A lot of them do come organically, but we spend most of our days searching out great teachers to teach cooking classes, to teach coding classes. We meet with them, we have coffee, we learn about their story, and we recruit them to promote their own company through Dabble.
That's great. Is there anything else?
One of the biggest perks is that Dabble is going to handle all of the financial and back-end automated email type stuff. We really want you to be able to focus on teaching a great class, connecting with cool people in St. Louis. We want to do everything else for you.
Great. And anybody can list a class on Dabble, right?
That's correct. It doesn't matter if you are certified as a teacher, doesn't matter what your day job is. We want you to teach. If you're passionate about something, go for it.
Great. Thanks. So you can find, teach, and host classes through Dabble. Visit dabble.co to browse classes or list a class in your area. Hi, thanks for checking out the first episode of Go On. I'm Jess Leach, and every week I'll be talking to makers, entrepreneurs, creatives, and all-around interesting people about lifestyle topics ranging from bourbon and baking to letterpress and comedy. If you like the content heard on this podcast, you can check out my site, cityinajar.com, for additional interviews and spotlights on rad people and places. On this episode, we're talking to Chelsea Hellege of Fable and Lore. Chelsea is a wordsmith turned metalsmith who used Etsy as a platform to become an entrepreneur. Her jewelry is a staple in my gifting repertoire and some of my favorite personal pieces. Chelsea, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy.
Of course.
Let's do it.
You started as a copywriter.
I did.
And now you wire wrap crystals.
Yeah, among other things, right?
So tell me how we got from writing words to...
to what I do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it's been an interesting journey. I started in marketing and advertising, and I was just kind of jumping around, you know, different jobs and freelancing for quite a while, and just kind of underemployed for, you know, a period of time, like a couple years, you know, and just never really landing where I felt like I needed to land. And, you know, I was doing jewelry on the side as just kind of a creative outlet. And I started paying more and more attention to it. And at one point, I don't know what changed, but I was just like, I think this is what I'm doing now. And I just made a conscious decision to go for it. And I think that was about 2 years ago. And ever since then, it's been really good.
Yeah. So you used Etsy as like a launching point for starting your own business.
Right. Yeah. I started out like immediately on Etsy. Like as soon as I started making stuff, I was like, I'm going to have an Etsy shop, you know, and that was like maybe 2010. And so I just like got a shop up and running, and it was like my fun little hobby, you know, my little side project. And like I said, just over time, I started doing more and more business through it. And it was a launching point because, you know, I started doing more and more business outside of Etsy as well, you know, and, you know, selling in stores and doing craft shows and that kind of thing. So, but yeah, Etsy was definitely the starting point for me.
Yeah, I've seen, I remember you sharing a lot of posts or highlights on Etsy, if you will, on their homepage. I remember you used to make those fluff balls. What did you call those?
Oh, those pom-pom necklaces.
Pom-pom necklaces.
Yeah, those were fun. Yeah, it was, I think, you know, honestly, my background in marketing has really helped me out because, you know, on Etsy, it's important to know SEO and keywords and that kind of thing. And so definitely, I think that helped kind of, you know, you mentioned some Etsy spotlights that I was lucky to be included in. And I think that that kind of like helped get me in the spotlight just because I kind of like knew how to play the game, if you will.
Sure.
You know, not because I'm so awesome, but.
But you are.
I mean, it was cool, you know, it was cool. But yeah, I used to make those pom-poms.
Yeah. So let's talk about the transition of those pom-poms into the metal cactus that you're wearing tonight.
That I'm wearing right now.
And did it evolve with your personal style, or were you seeing like nobody was really wearing pom-poms anymore, so I'm going to start making things with wood beads and then I'm going to start metalsmithing, or was it a personal interest?
You know, I think it's a little bit of all of the above. Definitely, you know, like my style has evolved over time and I think everyone's does. And then, you know, I always say that as an artist, you evolve as well. And that definitely happened to me. Like I started off doing more kind of indie craft stuff, you know, which is totally rad. And it's really easy to get into, you know, just like sort of stuff that's almost more like Pinterest projects, you know. But as I was paying more and more attention to Fable and Lore and treating it more like a business, I started feeling like, okay, I have to evolve and really turn this into like a true craft, you know. And so that's been kind of my journey for, I would say, the past year. I've really been working on myself hard and trying to, you know, learn new skills. And, you know, I started learning metalsmithing, and that's where the metal cacti come from. And, you know, I keep following that road, trying to do more metal cacti and stuff like that. So.
And, yeah, you have beautiful metal cups and metal rings. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I saw that stuff. I love the saw.
Yeah. So talking about Fable and Lore and the brand itself, a little birdie told me that you're working on a spring line.
Yes.
So this will be the first line for Fable and Lore, not just a piece that you wanted to work on.
Again, you know, in the past, and, you know, obviously this was kind of a hobby turned career path, if you will. You know, like I had always just released things piecemeal and, you know, sort of designed by accident, you know, which is fine and it's always worked well for me. But now I'm like, okay, it's time to step this up a notch. Like, I have to act like a designer now. So, which is really terrifying, to be honest, because I don't really think of myself like that. I think of myself as a maker, but not like a designer, or like someone fashion-y. But, you know, like this is my field. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to release a line. So,
yeah. I mean, can you tell us anything about the spring line that's coming? How many pieces it will have in it?
I can't, not because I'm trying to be obtuse, but because I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be inspired by the Southwest. I mean, obviously, I was just in Tucson. You were just in Tucson.
Right, you just took a big trip.
You know, that's fun. But so, yeah, it's going to have some of that kind of flair to it. And, you know, most of it will be metalworked pieces, you know, all hand fabricated. So that's cool.
Yes.
But that's about it. I'm just kind of like trying to, I'm scribbling like every day. I'm doing sketches. I'm like, you know, bashing my head against the wall. It's coming.
Are the sketches a new part of the process for you? Have you ever done that?
No, I really never sketched anything before. Like I said, everything was pretty haphazard. So now I'm like sitting down, putting pencil to paper, and, you know, sometimes it's cool and sometimes I'm like, this is crap, you know, and I get really mad at myself, but it's just all part of the process, you know. And I think like it also helps to kind of get the low hanging fruit just out of your system. Just get out the ideas that are just like floating right on the surface, because they might not be that good. They might be okay, but like you got to get everything out first, you know, kind of sift through it.
Yeah, that's, I'm so excited to see the spring line.
Thanks.
So you just went to Tucson for the Gem and Mineral Show, Gem and Mineral Show?
Yeah, Tucson has a really huge Gem and Mineral Show every year. So I went for that. Yay, business trips. You know, I could expense it. But it was super great. You know, I got some really great materials, which will be in the spring, summer line. Ooh. And and you know, just general inspiration. It was very nice.
Cool. So what did you do while you were in Tucson?
I went to Saguaro National Park.
Yes, to see the beautiful cacti.
Yeah, I met so many cacti. We talked, you know.
They do. So when I also just recently went to Tucson, and when we were there, we were playing like the cacti game. Like, what is this cacti doing? So it's like the way its arms are, and some of them, you know, have like, not 30 is an exaggeration, but like eight arms.
Many arms.
Yes, and some are just the two, and some are just some straight up. But we would play the, what is this cacti doing? Or cactus. I don't know the correct cacti cactus form there.
I like cactuses.
Yeah, I like to be completely incorrect here.
I mean, I just like to own it, you know.
So Tucson was great for you. You got a lot of inspiration there.
Very inspiring, you know. And I think it's kind of like an artsy community anyway, you know. Obviously, you know, with the Jim and Mineral Show being centered there, that is there for a reason. You know, it's like the jewelry making capital of the nation.
Is it really?
Tucson? One of them, yeah, like Arizona and New Mexico are both known for jewelry making.
Wow.
Yeah, I think because of all the natural, you know, stones and resources that they have, and you know, artist communities have kind of come up around that. So it's just kind of a whole culture out there.
Cool. So moving around from jewelry, let's talk about Craftoberfest, which is a big craft show. Would you call it a craft show?
Yeah, sure,
a big
totally.
Craft show that you put on with beer and a lot of awesome people who also make things.
Beer and people who make things.
So how long, you've been doing it for 2 years?
3 years.
This year is year three? Or you've
already
done
had
three
the
shows?
Third. Okay. So this coming year, 2015, will be year number four.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just, it's a fun time. I started that as just kind of a departure from, you know, the rest of the St. Louis craft scene, which I felt like just all kind of had the same flavor to it. And I just wanted to add something a little bit different. And at night, because I saw kind of like a business opportunity, you know, like, hey, if we do this on a weeknight, like after work, like, you know, in a good location in the city, like people will come and shop and like have some beers and just like hang out. And it would be a really great, you know, like a really great way for, you know, like to get local makers in front of people. You know, and vice versa.
So did you know a lot of the local makers that you were inviting to do this in
I
the
did.
First place?
Yeah.
Have you met a ton more through doing this?
Both. Okay. Yeah. I already knew a ton of people because we have such a great community here. It's really tight knit. So, you know, I knew, you know, I was that made that part of the job easy for me because I was able to, you know, relatively easily find awesome, talented local makers for Craftoberfest. And then, you know, they helped me get the word out a little bit more. So, yeah.
Well, I'm excited for 2015.
Yeah, I think it might be kind of big. it seems like it just kind of, like, gets bigger every year. And, like, I cannot, like, contain. Because it's a very small, not like, oh, it's so, like, big and successful. But it's, like, it's a very small area where we have it at Urban Chestnut, the original location in Washington. And it's a small brewery. We just have it out in the beer garden. And this year we extended it to the parking lot, but still like not a lot of square footage there to deal with. We really pack the vendors in. We call it a night market for that reason, because it kind of, for me, it kind of like evokes like a night market like in Thailand or something, because it's the same thing there. It's like just super crowded and, you know, like a little bit of chaos, but I kind of like it that way. So, yeah, but might be even bigger this year. I don't know.
That's exciting. We'll look forward to that in October.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we will.
So does Fable and Lore have a motto?
No. Strangely enough, it really doesn't.
Chelsea, you're a copywriter, and Fable and Lore doesn't have a
know.
Motto.
And maybe that's why I just like... You know,
you had to break
I
away
felt like
from
it was,
advertising
yeah.
so much.
I felt like it was too obvious. I just couldn't give it like a slogan or a catchphrase. But
I would like to note that Chelsea just made finger guns.
I do that a lot. That's not rare. People know that about me.
Maybe that's your motto, the finger guns.
That's actually true. Yeah, it's bad. It's kind of a hard sell, really, which is not good and creeps people out. Like, I do the kind of, like, half wink and, like, the lip kind of goes up a little bit. It's not cute.
So you're just, like, I, like, picture you in the 70s right now, like, wearing half a toupee. Finger guns and a wink.
That's
what I associate with finger guns.
Just that's not going to sell jewelry.
I'm just kidding, guys. She's got a great metal cacti necklace and some killer cowboy boots.
My hair happens to be okay. It's not a toupee, so.
It is certainly not a toupee.
It's decent.
Well, thank you, Chelsea, for joining me today.
Thanks for having
where
me.
Can people find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I'm just @FableandLore. Spell out the and.
And they can shop Fable and Lore on Etsy.
That's right. Let's see. It's fableandlore.etsy.com.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you for being the first guest
thank
on
you so
Go
much.
On.
Oh, man. This is great. I'm so happy that you're doing this.
Me too.
This is going to be amazing, you guys.
Thank you to Dabble for sponsoring this episode. Dabble is a marketplace for finding fun and affordable classes in the community. Take a class, teach a class, or host a class. Visit dabble.co. Big thanks to Wesley Hoffman and Treehouse Network Shop for asking me to be part of the Treehouse Lifestyle Network. Produced by Hug Monster Sound at Shock City Studios. And thank you for listening. Check out cityinajar.com for more stories and for bonus content from this episode. You can tell me what you thought on Twitter at Jess Leach. And listen in next week when I ask someone else to go on.